Thank you.
The trio was able to sing, "Just a Little Talk with Jesus Makes It Right." Now, if you're an unbeliever, that makes no sense whatsoever. But if you are a believer, then you know just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. We need to look to him always. So often, we look for to other sources for whatever support we need. It may be financial, it may be mental, it may be spiritual, it may be social, whatever it is. But just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Praise be to God. Last time we were on this subject of Christianity in you, Christianity in me, we talked about the majesty of Christ and the majesty of Christ living within absolutely every believer. That's amazing when we think about it. It's almost beyond belief, but not true. We have the majesty of the King. In fact, we sang about the King this morning in our choruses that we were singing together. We sang about Jesus being our Savior, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. This morning, the Lord willing, we're going to investigate the mystery and ministry of life in Christ. The mystery and ministry of life in Christ. But let us hear from God's Word, as we find in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 21 to 29. Now, the words will be on the screen, but also, if you have a Bible, a pew Bible, it's on page 1165. If you have your own Bible with you, it's up to you to find it. I don't know what the page number is. So let us hear the word of God. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held in the gospel. The hope held in the gospel. And we are pure in the sight of God because of Jesus. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. Now remember, saints are believers, disclosed to believers. Verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, a message for all of us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord. Amen. The mystery of this life in Christ. In God's word, we read these words. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, in ancient times, the word mystery referred to a secret that only a small number, initiates, only a small number of people actually knew the meaning of. There are certain fraternities, certain organizations today that operate in supposedly complete secrecy, and only those who are members of that body, initiate of that group, they are the ones who understand the mystery. But now in this case, this mystery is speaking a little differently. In this context, this meaning is, it cannot be understood by human reasoning. We can only understand it by the knowledge of the Holy Spirit working within us and interpreting His Word. You know, this is a wonderful truth. The wonderful truth is that over centuries, God's Holy Spirit inspired human writers to write what is now written in the Bible. And we believe this to be the Word of God. Now, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the authors, the writers of the books, is the same Holy Spirit who's alive, active, and well in you and in me if we are believers. And so when He is alive, active, and well, when we read His Word, it is then the Holy Spirit that is helping us to understand what the Word means and how it applies to us today. And then here in a few words is this mystery. Seven words. The mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now think of that. Christ in you. If you are a believer, we talked about the majesty of Christ, and the mystery of all this is that Christ actually resides by the power of His Holy Spirit within the life of every believer. This became a reality, but in the process, but it became a reality when Jesus came here on earth to the Jewish people. But many of the Jews, they couldn't understand this mystery. It was sort of hidden from them. And then when Jesus came, the mystery was gradually unfolded. Some of those Jews put their trust in Jesus. Many of them did not and rejected Him. But praise be to God that there were Jews that did understand who Jesus was, and Gentiles, non-Jews, who came to know, and we have the Word of God down to us today. Here is the mystery, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, actually lives in the hearts and lives of men and women who have acknowledged His majesty in creation and redemption and have personally accepted Him. Now that's a mouthful, but it is an important message. That is the ministry. The mystery that Christ lives within. You and I may have a little difficulty trying to comprehend how it is that the great God of the universe, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, lives within every believer. But that is the mystery. That's what it's all about. And there are two major points, namely, the miracle of His incoming and the measure of His indwelling. The miracle of His incoming in your life and in mine, and the miracle of His indwelling. The miracle of His incoming. Hear these words, Christ in you. And you can personalize it and say, Christ in me. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, put your trust in Him. He is within you. And He is within your heart and soul and mind and personality. The coming of Christ into human life is one of the great miracles of the universe. That's why it's called a conversion, or a great transformation, or a new birth. Those words are all used to describe what it means when we put our trust in Jesus and He comes into our life. To argue that a person, just because they grew up in a Christian home, or in the environment of a Christian church, or in a so-called Christian nation, that makes them a Christian, that's unbelievable, it's untenable, it doesn't happen. Mind you, growing up in a Christian home or growing up in a Christian congregation are wonderful organizations and units in order to lead us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But it is personal. We are not Christian because we belong to a Christian society, so-called Christian society. We are not Christians because we are in a Christian community or in a Christian family. We are Christians only because we have decided on our own, personally, to put our trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord and invite Him into our life. That is what makes the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Because while growing up in a Christian home or Christian environment is helpful, it does not make us a Christian. But putting our personal trust in Him does. A Christian is one who has Christ dwelling within. It is absolutely personal. It is personal. For all of us who are believers today, for all of us who have invited Christ into our life, He is alive, active, and well, and wants to gradually transform you and me to be more like Christ every day. Whenever I think of this miracle of Christ entering within our bodies, I think of the reference in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And we get a mental image there. It says, "Behold, I, Jesus, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." We are in Christ and Christ is within us. It's a praise God item. We notice that in this verse, Christ is knocking at the door of our life, our very existence. And if we hear his voice, now how do we hear his voice? We may hear his voice by the Holy Spirit speaking directly to us. We may hear his voice through a preacher saying, "You need to receive Christ as Savior and Lord." We may hear his voice because of a hymn that's been sung. We may hear his voice because of a witness by some other person. And when we hear his voice, if we open the door, then he will, that's a promise, he will come into our life and live with us forever and forever and forever. So, really important. Do I believe in the phrase, once saved, always saved? Yes, I do. If a person has been truly saved to begin with, a person may go off track every now and then we come back again. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. We get off track, he brings us back on track again. When we sin, and we know we do, thought, word, and deed, we do that, it's the Holy Spirit that reveals to you and to me that is against God's will. That is a sin. And that's when we confess our sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. We may be on and off the road, but we are still on the road permanently. If you were saved to begin with, you have always been saved, and you belong to the Lord forever and forever. The miracle of his incoming. It is a miracle when we think about it, that here we humans, having been created by God, that he now lives within us. Then there's the measure of his indwelling. What were those three words? Christ in you. Or you can personalize it and say, Christ in me. As we all know, Jesus is referred to as Jesus. He's referred to as Jesus Christ. He's referred to as Jesus the Christ. The word Jesus was his given name. Christ is Hebrew for Messiah. So for the Jewish people, when they talk about Jesus the Christ, it's Jesus the Messiah. You and I refer to him as our Savior, our Lord. He is the Jewish Messiah, but he is our Redeemer. He is our coming King. The word Christ is Messiah to the Jews, but also for others, it's the prophet, priest, and king. Now, did you know, in the Old Testament, there were three offices. These offices were all by anointment, by God's choosing and anointment. It was the prophet, the priest, and the king. And did you know that Jesus fulfills all of these roles? A prophet, he certainly was. A priest, he is the high priest before God, having presented himself as the perfect sacrifice to God to pay for your sin and mine. And also, Jesus is king. He has not been recognized as king throughout the world yet. We recognize him as king. We recognize him as Savior. But there is a day coming when he's going to return to this earth and the whole world, everybody who's alive at that time, will refer to him as king. And happily and joyfully, they will bow down in his presence. The world is going to be shocked because you know the world doesn't have a lot of good to say about Israel or Jerusalem today. But Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem will take on an entirely different meaning then than it does today. All because Jesus is king. When we think about it, for Jesus the Christ to be a reality in your life and in mine, he has to be heard as the undisputed prophet in our lives. He has to be heralded as the undisputed priest of our lives, having paid the price for us, and honored as the undisputed king in our lives. Undisputed king. We ought to have no other king in our life. Sometimes our job becomes king. Sometimes our family becomes king. Sometimes other influences become king. But we always need to keep in mind that Jesus is the only king in our life. The only one. In reality, there's no other message which matters but that which is revealed through his prophetic word. There is no other sacrifice which applies but that which is available through his atoning work on the cross. He was the perfect sacrifice. Don't ever believe what some people will say. They will say that Jesus was man. That's true. Jesus was fully God. That's true. Fully man and fully God. But don't ever believe that Jesus sinned. Not even once. In thought, word, or deed. He was absolutely sinless and therefore the perfect sacrifice. He has been tempted like you and I are tempted, but he overcame every temptation. Jesus never sinned. He never succumbed to any temptation. He always stood up. And incidentally, when he was tempted severely by Satan in the wilderness, every time that Satan tempted him, Jesus said, "It is written." And he quoted from a passage in the Old Testament. That was the only testament that was available in those days. So it was the word of God that combated Satan. And if Satan is active, alive, and well on this earth, which he is, and tormenting you and getting to you, remember this. You have the sword of the Spirit. You have the very word of God. And you can say, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because greater is he that is in me than you that are in the world." We have this authority by the very word of God. Christ living in you and in me. Many years ago, there was a great preacher and evangelist by the name of F.B. Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R. Just a little aside, some of you will remember Elsie White, who used to be a member of our congregation. She's now home in glory. But she heard F.B. Meyer preach many years ago. Although he was born in the late 1800s, nonetheless, she heard him preach. But he often told this story. He told the story about a young lady and her son. And the lady didn't have a lot in financial benefit. But anyway, she raised her son, and they moved to a seaside town in England. And when they were there, the boy grew up, became a young man, and then one day he just went off on his own to sea. And she didn't know he was going, but she found where he had gone. And after months and years went by, she just gave up the thought that he was never going to come back again, and she'd never see him again. In the meantime, she was still working with her hands and doing everything she could to sustain her own life. Then one day, a bearded man came and knocked on her door and asked if he could stay in her place. And she had a room, and she said, "By all means." So he went in the room, and she prepared his meals, and he went out to do a little work each day and came back. And then one day, when he was sitting at the table, he had a certain gesture, and right off the bat, she knew this was his her son who had returned. And so he then recognized and said, "Yes, I am her son." Listen to what he said. "Mother, I am now a rich man, so I want to give you these worn hands of yours a rest. I want to see your back straighten up and your face to look young again. What work there is to be done, I will do. Your business from now on is to rely on me." Now, what we notice about this is things change dramatically when the son indwelt the home. And things in your life will change dramatically when the Son of God, Jesus, indwells your home, your body, your heart, your soul, your mind. The Son indwelt the home. Jesus wants to indwell your home and mine. It is the incoming and indwelling of Jesus into our lives. And believe me, that's the mystery. And it occurs. And we are relieved, like the woman, of any further concern, because Jesus is there to whom we can talk, to whom we can pray, and to whom we can listen. The mystery of this life in Christ. Then there's the ministry of this life in Christ. Again, we highlight these words, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Presenting everyone perfect. Now listen. Not presenting everyone perfect, but presenting everyone perfect in Christ. because Christ is within. When God looks at us, when we stand at those pearly gates one day, God is going to look at us through the eyes of Jesus. He sees us being covered by the blood of Jesus, and therefore we are perfect in his sight, not because of us, but because of Jesus. Christ indwelling has a redemptive purpose. God indwells by the power of his mighty Son and the presence of his Holy Spirit. This is so that his glory might be seen in us here on earth as we operate in our families, in our community, in our workplace, in school, wherever it is. Christ is in us, and we are his ambassadors, and we are representing him. The world must be reached through us, and the world must be preached through us. Reach through us and preach through us. When we think seriously about the condition of the world today, and all we need to do is turn on the news, television or radio or whatever, and we can see what the condition of this world is. And it is going downhill very, very quickly. And so what is the solution? The solution of it all is Jesus. People everywhere learning about, knowing about, accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. Their entire perspective will change. And how are they going to find all this out? We realize this: Christ in you, Christ in me. Once Christ becomes an indwelling reality, he uses our lives as vehicles for the expression of his love and his interest and his life. All of this through you and through me. Someone has written this: Jesus has no eyes but our eyes to look through, no lips but our lips to speak through, no hands but our hands to work through, no feet but our feet to walk through, no hearts but our hearts to love. Many years ago, there was a young lady in Glasgow, Scotland. Her name was Helen Ewing, and she accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. And she started a prayer life, and she started to pray. And people who knew her said it was like rivers of flowing water coming from her. Now the sad part is that at a young age, age 22, she died. And all of Scotland wept. Why would Scotland weep for this young lady who died at such a young age? They wept because she was a prayer. She would get up at 5 o'clock every morning, and she would pray for hundreds of missionaries throughout the world. And she prayed fervently for them, and all of Scotland knew it. In fact, her list contained at least 300 missionaries for whom she prayed each and every day, day after day after day. And the people knew that she did. This was this young lady, Helen, praying for people. She would write down what her prayers were. She would write down answers to her prayer. And she kept this journal and kept this diary, and people were able to read it afterward. They were deeply touched. But what struck me about this was a young lady, around 18 or so, who became a believer in Jesus Christ, who put her trust in him and decided that she needed to use her skill to pray for others. I don't know, maybe there's a young lady in our midst today who is 18, or maybe any young person, and God is calling upon you to pray for other people, to pray. You may be the very means by which that person comes to know Christ as Savior and Lord. Paul says this: to this end I labor, struggling with all Christ's energy, which so powerfully works in me. The word must be preached by us to them. Now, when we're talking about preaching, it doesn't necessarily mean preaching from a pulpit. In fact, in the New Testament, the word preach, or its equivalent, appears 112 times. But only 6 of those times does it appear meaning somebody preaching from a pulpit. The rest of the time, it is to proclaiming, to herald Jesus, his love, his concern, his compassion for all, and the fact that he is Savior. Well, the conclusion of all of this, the overall theme in the message the last time and today, is Christianity and you. It has all to do with the outliving of the indwelling Christ. The outliving by you and me of the indwelling Christ, when people in this world see Christianity in action, they are drawn to Jesus. And we have a responsibility. You know that an ambassador for a country represents the country. And in representing the country in another country, we are ambassadors. Did you know that our citizenship is really not here on earth? Our citizenship is in heaven. And we are ambassadors for Jesus. And as ambassadors here on earth, we have a special assignment. And that assignment is to reach out and be the lips and the hands and the eyes and the feet of Jesus and to speak to others. Hear this. Because Christ dwells in you and me, his creative and redemptive glory can be seen in a lifestyle that is authentic and convincing. In essence, this is Christ living in us, the hope of glory. Now keep this in mind. Hold on to the thought. Christ in me. Christ in you. That is the hope that we have in all glory. Not only is Christ important to you and to me now, but Jesus is important to you and to me when we get to heaven. And we will finally be able to see him face to face. And when we do, we will want to bow down to him and thank him for what he's done for us. Because we're only there because of him. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for your gift of creation, your gift of salvation or redemption, the gift of your Holy Spirit, the gift of Jesus living within us through the power of his Holy Spirit, that we may live for you. Hear our prayer. Lead us and guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.